You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I'm going to give him the number, Della. He'll call. We tried. We'll call him.
Dana just who dissed John.
Who dissed? No, he didn't who diss me. Dell. But everybody does that.
It's not true.
I don't remember the number. Okay, I got it. Yeah, I got it. He's going to call us here. And we got Dana Holgorsen, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, brought to you by HR&P, and brought to you by Chastang Ford. I had my Chastang hat on yesterday. And I'm driving around in my Expedition. They're gonna give me one of their F-150s or F-250. I mean, it's gonna be awesome. And I want the Bronco, but the Bronco now, that new Bronco, unbelievable.
I want this, and I want a Bronco.
Yeah.
What do you mean you want all this
stuff? Well, I get to drive for the weekend.
Yeah.
They're gonna let me have one for the weekend.
Does and Frankie get to drive one for the weekend? Does Frankie get one to drive for the weekend?
No. No. Unfortunately, Frankie probably gets my car when she's here, which is a disaster, that's not the best idea. Dana Holgorsen is joining us right now on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Chastank, brought to you by Damaris, and brought to you by HR&P. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We haven't talked to you in a while. What have you been doing?
It's been like Groundhog Day. Wake up, go to work, prepare for a game, go to practice. Hopefully we get a play, and then you find out at some point during the week that you're not going to play, and go home and spend a couple days watching football and then do it all over again, you know. So our kids were – I give them credit. They're hanging in there. We're practicing. We're in shape. We're ready to play. They just look at me kind of funny when I say we're going to go practice, because the plug's been pulled so many times this year. But – you know, I said, look, guys, I said, the end is near here. I mean, we're running out of Saturdays. You know, there's only a couple of them left, and I think we got a good football team. Everybody's forgot about us. Hopefully we get to go play a couple. This looks like this game at Memphis is going to happen Saturday. So we're going to line up and put our best foot forward and try to end 2020 with a few wins here.
I want to ask you, to that point, have you heard from any seniors, or is there any buzz about – because the big unknown for a lot of people is – how many of these seniors are going to take advantage of the free season, the ability to come back and play next year? And then as a coach, how difficult is that for you when sometimes you might want guys to just move on and get to the younger players or get to somebody that you think maybe has better upside?
Yeah, each kid is different. It's a different situation for each one of them. We've had those preliminary talks with everybody. Peyton Turner and Grant Stewart at both expressed interest in coming back because they were both just fourth-year seniors. I think that plays a lot into it, too, whether they're a fourth-year senior or a fifth-year senior. Heck, we even got one or two sixth-year seniors. But, that plays a little bit into it. When they got their Senior Bowl invite, they decided that they were going to go ahead and take advantage of that, which you would know more about that than I would probably. I don't know if that thing is going to go off or not. But nonetheless, still an honor to be invited to that game. Obviously, Marquez is going to that game as well. We congratulate all three of those guys. They've been great Houston Cougars for 4 and 5 years, and we wish them all the best in the world. With all the other guys, it's a case-by-case basis. There's, take two KD local private products here, and Kyle Porter's getting his MBA in business here in December, and so he's like, yeah, it's been real. I'm going to move on. And he's a fifth-year guy. And Javonte Stewart came in as a fifth-year senior. He's like, well, I'm going to play another year and get my master's degree. You can't get it in 1 year, so you might as well take advantage of that and play another year and get your master's degree. There's guys that just say, you know what, it's been fun, but I'm going to go about my business and others that are like, man, I don't know what I would do with myself without football, so I'm going to come back. At the end of the day, we kind of control that, whether if they've exhausted their eligibility and graduated, then we've kind of done our job. We don't have to give them that extra year if we don't want to. But it's usually a mutual agreed upon decision.
Oh, so that's not a player's decision. That's still a team decision.
Well, it's correct. It can be both. It can be both, honestly. You know, if a guy wanted to fight it, they could probably fight it. I haven't, you know, in the 20-some guys that I've got on my team that have that opportunity, you know, it'd be a rare deal where we just don't want them to come back, because those numbers don't count against you, you know. So just because they're on your roster doesn't mean that you got to play them. I mean, if you got a young kid that's better, that's coming into his own as a third-year guy or something like that, and this guy's a sixth-year guy and he's just been passed up, well, that's just kind of life. I mean, that, you know, if you want to come back and compete, and there's no guarantee you're going to win the starting job, but those numbers don't count against you. So I couldn't see any reason, unless there's an attitude deal where, you know, you just can't tell those guys to move on, even if they're a freshman, you're going to tell those kind of guys to move on. Wait, so
as a student athlete,
you get all your underclass when you're at 85. You got 10 more seniors that want to come back. Now next year's totals are at 95.
And why would you not? If you're somebody who knows you're not an NFL player and you want to get ready for life after football, well, it almost doesn't make any sense not to take advantage of the opportunity to go to post grad at your school and get other classes taken, get, you know, for free under scholarship.
Yep.
Well, unless you're a guy like Gio Pancotti, local product from Episcopal, or Kyle Porter, I mean, those guys came in as fourth year grad students,
right?
So they're both going to have their master's degree. The internal clock is saying it's time to go make money and go get out in the business world, you know. Yep. So every case is different. We talk to each and every one of them, and you know, whatever is agreed upon is going to be pretty cordial.
Dana Holgorsen with us here on ESPN 97.5. I mean, it's hindsight, but Dana, we were just talking about it, man. If everybody would have gone into, if all the conferences, look at Ohio State is sitting there now this week. If we would have had flexible schedules. I mean, you had a chance to still, I mean, you should have had a chance to get another win and possibly play in your conference championship game, but they had rigid scheduling. If everybody, now it's difficult because nobody had a playbook, a game plan for this or the playbook for it. But man, if we would have had some flexible scheduling in all of these conferences, then we could have had a lot of these problems solved, including Ohio State and you guys.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. We had done that internally. You know, we when these schedules came out in June, you know, I was on a call with, you know, the commissioner of the American and the head coaches, and I'm like, you know, this looks pretty simple to me. We have 11 conference opponents. I don't know why we wouldn't just each play each other 10 opponents and, you know, build in a couple weeks at the back end. I mean, that even if one team's played like 8 games and one team's played 9 games, you're probably going to have enough information to figure out, you know, who's going to be in the conference championship game, because that's the only thing in 2020 that's going to really, at the end of the day, matter, is who won the conference and, you know, who got into the CFP and who got into the New Year's Six bowl games. But he said, the commissioner said, yeah, just go ahead. We want you to play all your non-conference games. I go, so you want us to play 12 games and build in no flexible dates at the end? He's like, well, we got to take care of BYU and Army and Notre Dame and Texas and all those guys. I was like, well, I didn't know they were in our conference, but that's whatever. And so, you know, and then game three, which was really our game one, you know, Memphis got scheduled, and they automatically rescheduled that game for December 5th. And me and Pez looked at each other and said, this is going to be a real problem, because there's going to be games canceled, and if we don't have room at the back end, we're not going to get our allotted games in, which is exactly what happened. You know, and so it was poorly managed, in my opinion. Other conferences were like the Big 12 and the ACC just automatically started rescheduling games. And if that inconvenience was any conference opponent, well, my opinion, they just need to get over it. As long as it's not a competitive disadvantage, they need to get over it and play the games that the commissioner puts in front of them. Unfortunately, we didn't do that. Good news, we got a chance to go play at Memphis, finish in sole third place. If we win, which I think our guys want to go play and they want to go win, then we will finish in sole third place in our conference. And, you know, that's improvement from last year. I think we would have beat Tulsa. My personal opinion, if we would have had enough games and we would have played them, we would have beat them. if they would have had to play against Cincinnati, a game that was happening. You know, again, that's another one. That thing was scheduled to be played 6 weeks ago. Cincinnati COVID is out. They rescheduled it for December 12th, and then Cincinnati COVID is out again. I find that kind of ironic. And then they get a play at home against Tulsa for the conference championship. We could have got to 5-2. I think Tulsa probably would have had them at the same schedule, we would have ended up going back to Cincinnati. We had our shot there, though. Cincinnati's a really good football team. We had our shot. We didn't take advantage of it. It played out, unfortunate for the Cougars, but we go win at Memphis and finish third, and it'd be an improvement from last year.
So you don't think you're going to have anything for the 19th? Is this it?
No, we're trying hard to schedule. I've got a couple of teams right now. I don't want to mention anybody, but we got a couple of teams that we have approached about coming to Houston, and there's some interest there. Rice still owes us a game. I wish they'd play us. They're coming on. They should want to play. They just came off with a heck of a win at the Marshall last week. But we play that. You know, we've called Baylor. They still need a non-conference game. I haven't heard back from them. Kind of funny. But we're reaching out. I'd like to play in the 19th, you know, just because it's an available Saturday. You know, if you're not in your conference championship, that's a available Saturday. We're healthy and we're ready to play. So I'd like to kind of get our kids into a position where they get to play a couple of games, even though they've been disappointed so many times this year.
You know, you got this a month. You've had just a month now that you guys haven't been able to play. You got a month before the season. It's in August, and you guys get ready for a season. Do you feel like this was a second camp? And how ready do you think they are after sitting all this time?
Oh, I think we've been good. I think we've approached it the right way from a coaching staff and strength and conditioning. Last time we played against South Florida, we were without about 12 guys, and I think we got 10 of those guys back. So probably the healthiest we've been. There's about 8 guys that have traveled this year that aren't going to be able to travel because we're capped at 70. So we're healthy. We're ready to go. We're fresh. We're not wore out. We didn't sit there and beat them up for a month. We did enough to where we could stay in shape. It does kind of feel like the beginning of the year where I hope the speed of the game doesn't get us early, which it did against Tulane. But we have played 6 games, and we are pretty experienced. So, you know, I don't see as much pop in practice just because they're tired of practicing and it's the middle of December, which is normal. So it's kind of like that, and it also reminds me a lot of going and playing in a bowl game. You know, you get about a month play over at the end of the year and kind of try to manage it to your best ability. You don't know what to expect going into a bowl game, and then when you get there, you kind of settle in and play. So, you know, I think we'll be fine. I think we're ready to go.
I finished looking at Peyton Turner and Grant Stewart. I wrote them up, but what Peyton Turner is a really, really interesting guy. Just rare size and athletic ability as a 4-3 end. At first, I thought I was just going to see him as a 3-4, you know, a 5 technique. You kind of look at that size and the length and his frame. But then when you watch him, he's athletic. Like, he's a real 4-3 end. He can come off the edge. When he really starts, and he is a strong guy who you get the sense he's just figuring out how strong he is. And it was interesting watching what he did to Tulane and then facing a stronger player at BYU at tackle. And then, you know, you kind of see him as the game goes on, kind of adjust his way of playing. But I think he is going to be a guy who really splashes in the NFL because he's really starting to show that he's kind of narrow the way he plays, a narrow base. He gets knocked off balance. He's a little upright. But that's the same way Chris Jones played coming out of Mississippi State, and he hadn't had any problems. So I think you got a really good one right there. I've been really impressed, and I know everyone who's watched the program have raved about Peyton Turner this year, and I see why.
Yeah, he's really proud of. Really came into his own. He's decided to move on, and you know he's out there practicing his tail off yesterday. You know, unfortunately, he played in the first 3 games, didn't play in the next 3. Would have been nice to have him against. You know, UCF and Central Florida and Cincinnati and all that, but yeah, it's part of the game. And you know, he's been pretty calculated with the whole process. He's an incredibly smart young man. He's got his degree in 3 and 3.5 years. you know, he's a local product here out of Westside, I believe. Grew up playing baseball, you know, then he switched to basketball, was a pretty good basketball player, and then said, if I'm going to do this, I guess it's going to have to be football. So made the switch and at the right time, but developed a lot throughout the course of his career here at Houston. Was a skinny kid coming in, you know, weighs 260, 265 right now, I believe, and has toughness to him too, intelligence and toughness. You know, with the body type, the frame, and the athleticism to go about it as well. I think Peyton's going to play for a long time. You know, and that's kind of what his final decision was. Is you know, if I'm not a first round draft pick right now, then you know, let me get into the league and work towards that second contract. Which you know as well as I do. If you're not a first rounder, you need that second contract to make that real money. He's just an intelligent kid like that, and so he calculated things out and came up the decision. He's like, I would have been more than happy to come back and continue to build the program, but it's just probably in my best interest to go. And I can't disagree with that. He's got his degree. He's played well. Hopefully we get about six more sacks out of him here in the next couple of weeks, and then we'll wish him well after that.
Well, we'll wish you well. Congratulations on actually having a game. It's had to be brutal over this last few weeks. I know it's been brutal for you. That this has sucked. So get to get out there. You guys get to compete, and it's going to be we'll be watching on Saturday. Go kick some Memphis ass. We appreciate it, Dana. Thanks for hanging with us. We'll let you go.
I appreciate it. At the end of the day, it ain't anything anybody else isn't dealing with, right? I mean, that's just kind of the way it is, and our kids understand that too. That's why they've been staying in a good place, and we certainly hope to get to Memphis and come back with the win.
Good deal. We appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Coach.
Dana Holgerson Thanks, with us here on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, brought to you by HRP, and brought to you by Chastain Ford. Loves all those guys. Mike Holly, Big Coug, Yanni, not so much, but he obviously is good, great with the program. They do a lot of catering for the U of H program. And then, of course, the Chastains are big, big Coug fans and big supporters as well. So, good stuff. We appreciate you guys supporting us and Dana Holgerson all year long right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime,
I want to tell you about my friends over at Generator Supercenter. I've actually known them for quite a while. One of the guys is over there. We cross paths and know each other from radio days. I'm just telling you this right now. This is a big deal to me because I was one of the lucky ones when we had on our street when we had Harvey, but the one that we had back in about 08. I remember the electricity went down, a lot of power lines were out, and my neighborhood was out for I think about 7 days. And because someone on my street was considered high risk from a life standpoint, from a you know machine standpoint that they had that could help them, you know, with their just stay alive basically. Our street was added to the grid of repairs earlier than anyone else in the neighborhood. And that's when I first started thinking, hey, this generator thing, this is a big deal to have a generator. And that's what I'm all about. And the Generac automatic standby generator, what this means is when your AC goes when your power goes off. And your AC's gone or your heat's gone, this brings it back on. When you're worried about everything being lost in your freezer, that you've all that meat and everything that's in there, your deer that you hunted, that's all going to be gone if your power stays off for long amounts of time. Not to mention during a heat wave, could you afford to have that? No, I couldn't live in that. That's why you've got to get a generator. And to do that, you need to go to Generator Supercenter. They've got great prices and they got a great selection, and that includes the Generac automatic standby generator. And they're the number one seller in the nation of Generac generator, the automatic standby generator. Make sure that you get a free estimate. You call my friends over at Generator Supercenter right now. Don't wait for the next storm or the next outage. Call 281-377-9774. That's 281-377-9774. That's Generator Supercenter.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads
or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right Box of Awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right.
You didn't take your shot. You didn't even mention the James Harden stuff.
What? You need six tests?
Six positive tests so he can practice. Six negative tests so he can practice. And he has had COVID. Right? Wait, that was official, right? Russ came out and said he had it, but didn't it? James, I don't know that James ever said it, but it was mentioned that James had COVID before the bubble, the initial bubble. Now that was, man, I guess, how long has that been? He might be able to catch the C again.
James,
it's been a while.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because the bubble started back in, for basketball, was it late July? So it would be about four and a half months, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is he was in Vegas with all those people, and he was in.
Well,
Atlanta.
I know that's why I'm. If James May,
who knows?
The bubble began, at least exhibitions began, the 22nd, but they had to be there before then. And remember, he got there late. So it's very well possible if he had it once, he could have had it again. Well, he could have it again.
Yeah, we could be dealing with 5 months. We could see James test positive again. I don't. You know, I've heard it may not last as long as 5 months. So we'll see what happens. I know that pretty much nobody at Lil Baby concert had masks on from the video. I know James is hanging out with Lil Baby a lot, and Lil Baby was sitting on Honey Buns, kind of a normal party thing.
$100,000 being passed between friends.
$100,000 being passed, just kind of like a regular birthday. Like, hey, happy birthday, buddy.
Yeah,
let me get you this Prada bag because I'm proud of you. Supposedly, that's why James gave him the Prada bag, because he's proud of him.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a Prada bag.
I'm proud of you.
Proud of you.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, his little play on words gift. I respect that. I respect the play on words gift. I'm just not that man that can have. I just don't do, and this has been out there for a long time. It's not new. People will think that this is just the DeAndre Hopkins. This has been going on for a long time. The Louis and Gucci and Prada bags for men, I don't know. I just don't, they don't hit with me. But I know a lot of people love it. Just absolute, a lot of men love that. It's never been something that's done anything. Do you, John, did Wendy make you get any Louis bags?
No. No, she doesn't. No.
Do you have a Gucci shaving kit?
If we're going to buy any Louis, it's going to be for her.
Right, but does she want you to?
No.
Do y'all go out together in Louis stuff or
no.
Gucci stuff?
I don't give a rat's ass what.
But do you know if you do? Because maybe you do and you don't know it. That's also a possibility.
There is a chance, yeah.
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 There's a possibility that you're wearing couture that you don't even know about. And it cost you dearly.
I think she bought me some Gucci shoes, yeah.
Are they Gucci flip-flops?
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't care now.
They're gym shoes.
Yeah, don't care.
Yeah.
Unless you got Gucci flip-flops, I don't care. Unless you're walking through the mall. I do a game where I go to the mall and I still get samples because the Asian food court place, they don't care about sample rules. It's still on like Donkey Kong with orange chicken and bourbon chicken. Mm. It's still on. They don't care. Mm-hmm. Excuse me! They will wave you down to to come have their food. Everybody else, forget it. There is no samples like there used to be. With those places that are in battle for your business, they do not care. It is still sample time. So sometime when I want to take a little break from my draft stuff, I'll go over there. I'll have I'll have my lunch in the form right off of toothpicks, and then I will play a little game as I walk around called Count How Many Gucci Flip Flops You See. The number, usually I set the number at 6.5, and it's usually right around there. And I don't walk around for a mile or for an hour. I'm not a mall walker. That's not what I am, despite what Joel has called me one time. Mm-hmm. Not a mall walker. I just have a little path that I go, and I go back, and I go out the door, and I walk back down here. And usually 6.5 is a good Gucci flip-flop number. Now, not as much now, because it's not as busy. So I was hoping that you had some Gucci flip-flops that you'd wear with white socks.
No, I don't. I don't do that. But no, yeah, none of that happens. But I don't walk around the mall counting shoes either. I don't know. Yep. That's a strange thing that you do. But that's...
Well, I could watch Sam Ellinger tape. That's not great.
No, but that's, you get paid to do that.
Yeah, no, I do. But I got to take breaks from it every once in a while. It's the same stuff. I finished Terrace Marshall. I didn't love him. From LSU, I watched Sam Ellinger, and you can tell Sam Ellinger his deep ball percentage, he's completed less than 30% of his deep balls. Not good.
Well, you thought the Terrace was uninterested?
Yeah, it looked a little.
I think everybody's been uninterested with LSU.
I mean. You win a national championship, everyone goes. I'm not saying it's not natural, but you want to see him play through that. But he's looked a little disinterested at times on tape.
But I think he's going to be a good pro.
He's got a chance to be. I know a lot of people really like him. He's big. He's fast. Yep. He can catch a ball.
Big and fast, and he can catch.
He did have a lot of focus drops this year. He had 8 drops this year.
Really?
And they were bad drops. Yeah. In 7 games, he had 8 drops. And he had never in the previous 2 seasons, but he played in the slot a lot more. So the ball's on top of you quicker, and you got to – it's just a different position. He tried to play some of the Jordan Jefferson position, or Justin Jefferson. But, you know, it's funny. I was watching Sam Ellinger. And I saw these bad intermediate stats and deep ball stats, and I looked at last year to see if deep ball was an issue, and he completed over 41%. And then I remembered, well, he had Colin Johnson last year. Even though he wasn't really a deep ball guy, he was more of a catch-and-run guy, he also had his other wide receiver last year, the guy who hated humanity.
Chase?
Devin Duvernay.
Oh.
When he caught the ball, he wanted to end you when he was running with
the
ball.
Oh, he did, too.
I loved watching him. As I'm watching, I lined up 70 throws that were all deep ball throws. They're 20-plus. And I wanted to see what's up with Sam Ellinger. And while, you know, it's a combination of two things. Him doing too much, trying to make throws down the field. He has no, why? Just take the, it's 3rd and 21. Take the man underneath, gain 11, and punt. You don't, because I would look at the time of the game in 3rd quarter, 7 minutes ago, and two things were clear. Number one, his wide receiver's just not that good this year. They had drops on passes that should have been catches. They don't separate and get open, and they don't fight for the ball down the field that well. And then number two, he was playing too much hero ball. You can tell he feels the pressure of trying to make a bunch of plays, and that can be an issue. And, you know, I saw it with and certainly not a comparison, but Pat Mahomes did that at Texas Tech.
So that happens sometimes. Pat Mahomes?
No, that's what I was saying. That's where the difference is in.
Lance, and he's the NFL evaluator.
Are you going to compare him to Pat Mahomes?
Is that his comp?
I see his comp as more like Ben DiNucci.
Ben DiNucci?
Yeah.
How about Bucky?
That's a far come down.
Yeah, always Longhorn Bucky. But I don't know if the nation would get that as much. Here, he really is a lot like Bucky Richardson was. That's an old, much older comp.
That's all right.
He's tough. He's a dirt dog. He's all this stuff.
How about Taysom?
No, but you know, he's built like Taysom. Yeah. He's not quite as long and lean as Taysom, but he is, you know, Sam's a pretty muscular guy, and he's just not quite the athlete of Taysom. But it did cross my mind as I'm watching him, like, you know, he looks in the uniform a lot more like Taysom than anybody else, and I'm kind of,
Colt McCoy. But Taysom's white, though. You can't comp him.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
I'm going to have to
come up with that. Do you want to talk about another player who's never won really anything before on the other side?
Yes.
Because James Harden has expanded his list of potential trade places.
Oh, nice. And, gotta see where James wants to go.
And it's a guy, and we had a discussion about this team. Or, not you, Lance. You weren't here. You were lazy. But John and I talked about a potential trade between the
and this
Rockets
isn't
and this
Philly?
Team. No, it's another.
Oh,
multiple
good.
Teams.
I want to hear
added
this.
Teams. We'll talk about it on the other side.
On the other side.
Harrell owes the city. He if he's giving away picks all the time, how about you shoot some this way?
Well, maybe James wants to go to the East and so different East teams and play for a contender.
Well,
talk
well how
about
that?
That?
Well, I'm pretty sure that's what James
sense.
Wants to do. You know what I want to do? I want to get my wife the Tempting Touch pajamas exclusively from Pajamagram, America's PJ experts for nearly 20 years. Tempting Touch pajamas will keep her warm and cozy from head to toe while complimenting her every curve. They're made with micro velvet, a new fabric, silky smooth, addictively soft. They're irresistible to wear, beg to be touched. She'll slip these on after a long day, start melting away her stress. Okay, all you need to do is go to pajamagram.com. Right now, when you order today, you get a free deal, a free gift wrapping packaging. That means you don't have to wrap a thing. Beat the holiday rush. Get her these Tempting Touch pajamas and get your free gift packaging today before this deal disappears. Just go to pajamagram.com. Fast, easy, and delivery by Christmas guaranteed. Pajamagram.com. Tell them I sent you.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5. These are short. Lance just got up and left.
Yeah, it's been months of this, maybe even a year, and he still doesn't get the timing of the breaks.
He doesn't get that.
No.
Yeah.
And he loves signing with the Rockets, so this would have been for him, but he's gone now.
Yeah, so all right. Well, he was guessing Philadelphia. It's not Philadelphia.
Well, it's beyond Philadelphia. That was the whole point.
Well, he gave his list of demands, right? Is he already given because he's holding the Rockets hostage?
Yeah,
right?
The Nets were on the list, and then a couple days ago, maybe even yesterday, Philly popped up. A couple other Eastern teams have popped up. Yeah, today, Shams Charania of The Athletic is reporting that James Harden now has the Bucks and the Heat on his preferred destinations of teams.
The Bucks and the Heat.
Yes, and we just remember I threw a hypothetical talking about the Heat as an option, and a reporter who covers the Heat down in Miami said the Heat and the Rockets have had discussions about James. He said he was going to save it, but since Shams threw it out there, he's throwing it out there now. But as of now, the Heat won't include Tyler Hero in any trade, and that kind of speaks to what the value is of James right now. People are trying to bend the Rockets over a little bit because what do the Heat have of value besides Duncan Robinson that they're willing to trade? Like, if you're not trading Tyler Hero, how can you get into a James Harden discussion? Like, they're not trading Bam or Jimmy. So if you're not even going to trade Tyler Hero, how are you trading for James? And they want to keep him out of a trade.
Well, James is just picking all the best teams. I want to go there.
Well, yeah, he wants to win a title.
Well, right. But that doesn't mean that's going to happen. You know what? I want to be working at CBS. I want Jim Nance's job. That doesn't mean it's going to happen.
I'm just talking about the other side. The Heat, James Harden is a top whatever player, MVP candidate, and the Heat are like, yeah, we're not sure about throwing Tyler Hero in. So what does that speak? What does that say about James's value around the league if they won't even give up Tyler Hero right now?
It's really, this is astonishing. Never in history is a player of this caliber would so few teams consider trading lesser players for that player. I get that he's 31, and there is a lot of tread off the tires when you look at James's durability. It's been excellent. Just like LeBron's, you know, he plays a lot of games, and he's very physical in how he plays, and a lot has been asked of him. But James is also, there is no sign of decline with James Harden. There's no sign of decline. His game, like, has continued to honestly, it's time to address this championship DNA and all this. James is notorious for being a party boy and all that stuff, right? And people can say, he can do it. And he's now notorious, I would think, in league circles for couldn't play with Russ. Now, maybe they're still friends, but they just didn't maybe they didn't love playing together. Maybe Russ didn't love playing with him. I don't know. We know that he couldn't get along with Chris Paul. We know he couldn't get along with Dwight. We know there's been issues. There've just been some issues with Harden. Although he doesn't make it a really public spectacle very often, but it ends up being the case. Is there a chance that this really has nothing to do with how much money he makes or how old he is, and that it has less to do with basketball stuff than it does to do with, we just don't know if we want to take James on. We just don't know if we want James, his whole crew coming, James going out all the time. We don't know if we want James potentially not getting along with these guys or that guys. How much of that is a concern?
Well, we want a guy that's going to come up clutch, too. We've seen James.
Yeah. We want a guy who's going to be here after the contract's over so we can extend him. Like, there's a lot of pieces that have to be that are in consideration here.
I think what we're finding out is that James isn't all that attractive to other teams.
It's just unbelievable. But that's like saying...
But guys, though, again, I mean, Jimmy Butler probably go, oh, no, I don't want to play with James. No.
Jimmy,
he decided he didn't want to play with James when he picked Miami over Houston.
Jimmy is about it. Like, Jimmy wants, yes, you're right. And Jimmy wants to win. He holds people accountable. I can't imagine that would be something James would like. That's like a Chris Paul, but who will want to fight you. Like, Chris Paul's not going to fight you. He'll just stay on you and keep nagging you like a dad. But Jimmy Butler's older brother, like, Jimmy Butler will potentially fight you.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to fight Jimmy Butler at some point. Is that really what we want here, James? To fight Jimmy Butler?
No, well,
I don't know that Jimmy Butler's going to be dead.
No, James does not want any part. No. Well, listen, this stuff with James now Russ leaves, Chris Paul leaves, Dwight leaves, he gets his coach. I mean, honestly, other guys, and they watch the way he plays. How many times are guys clowning him? I mean, he didn't get picked for the All-Star game because I want a guy that's going to pass the ball.
He got picked. He got picked early, after.
I mean, after he should have. When did he get picked?
It's a strange situation where you can't think of another sport. I can't think of another sport where a guy is that talented. Like, at the top of the food chain, top three player, from a production standpoint, without question, year in and year out, five straight years of saying top of the food chain. And we have these conversations on a regular basis about him. That's unbelievable. I can't think of another sport or even another player where people wouldn't be falling over themselves to get their hands on a guy or figure out a package. And yet the Rockets are sitting here like,
well, what are we
and the get? Rockets and the Rockets, you know, have created this atmosphere. They bear some, Maury and the whole crew with the Rockets bear some, because they have given in and made it such a James centric thing that I think they bear some of the weight of this of trying to move James. Now, you know, some of it is style of play may play into it, and when James is out there throwing out that, you know, oh, no, I want to play the beautiful guy, I want to run. I don't know that people believe that. And I wonder, I do think James wants to win the title. I do think, here's the thing. I'm going to say something that's going to be contradictory that some people won't. I think James would subjugate elements of it. Now, for how long, I don't know. But I think James would play nice with other superstars because he wants to get the ring. I don't think that would last long term, though.
Well, he is again, if Chris Paul's game hadn't fallen off, like it did the second year, I think James might have had more respect for him, too. Because he didn't want to hear Chris Paul telling him how to play.
But Chris is also...
Chris wasn't playing well.
But Chris is the opposite of James. Like, Chris is not a go-out. Chris is
well, guess what?
Stay home with
neither
the family.
Neither is Jimmy Butler going to be. I mean, you want to go there? Really? You think Jimmy Butler's going to put up with James shenanigans in the strip club?
No, I don't. No. I don't know. Maybe he would.
I don't know.
But not during the
he feels like it's costing him something.
Right. That's just it. As long as everything's good and everything's cool, I don't think Jimmy. Now, if Jimmy thinks it's a problem, if Jimmy thinks that you're messing with Jimmy's chances, then Jimmy's gonna have something. If you're messing with Jimmy's bread or Jimmy's championship aspirations, mm-hmm. then Jimmy's going to have a problem.
The Heat culture stuff gets thrown in people's faces, but he seems like the antithesis of a Heat player. Like, they love titles. Pat Riley loves going all out, so that fits what they would like. But Do we expect James? They already dealt with LeBron James and his entourage, and that got old and tired, and they didn't want to bend to LeBron's will as far as the organization is concerned. One of the reasons he left after 4 years, partly, and also because Dwayne Wade was getting older. But do they want to deal with the times where James wants to do something that the Heat team and culture doesn't really accept? As a Heat fan, it's intriguing only because James Harden on my team, but it's like I can't wrap my brain around that guy fitting in there at all. He feels like the exact opposite of what they'd want.
Yeah.
And right now, they're not trying to give up anything to get him. Hey, you want Duncan Robinson and Kendrick Nunn, a couple salary fillers? Take it. But they don't want to give up their best young player. Well, Bam's their best young player, but their second best young player in Tyler Hero.
Tyler Hero's coming on strong. Like, he's coming up fast, and that's the kind of player you want. Like, that's exactly the kind of player the Rockets would want. That is a potential franchise player. He has all the confidence in the world. He can shoot from distance. He can score. He can make plays at the rim. Like, that's what you should expect for James Harden. We'll give you the guy now who can give you what you want. We want the guy who's going to be the future. That's the fair trade. This isn't right. The NBA should just give Houston a bunch of draft picks. If no one will trade with the Rockets, the NBA ought to give back some of those picks that Daryl sent away.
It's Oklahoma only fair. City has, like, I mean, 27 picks over there. I mean, it's stupid how many picks now Oklahoma City has over the next 6 years, 6-7 years. It's stupid how many picks that. No, whether or not they're going to be really bad. You know, they
want to be bad.
Yeah, they want to be bad. Well, and guess what? They're gonna cash in.
Well, the other team on that list was Milwaukee. I mean, are they going to trade Chris Middleton and what else?
Who? What are they going to trade?
The only thing they could trade is Chris Middleton and what else?
So is Chris Middleton the level of all-star that you get for James Harden now? Is Chris Middleton?
Well, if you look at the...
I don't even know.
And you sure the Bucks would do that?
Exactly. I don't know what they're willing to trade.
I don't know, because that could be considered a culture record for them. I don't know that right now you're even getting Chris Stapleton. Like, you can't get any.
Chris Stapleton, the singer?
Yeah.
I don't want him for James.
Well, you got Chris Middleton.
I like some of Tennessee whiskey's nice, but I'm not.
Yeah, Chris Stapleton, like, I don't even know if country music would be willing to deal him right now. Like, if I knew country western singers, I could totally come up with something here. Mm-hmm. I got nothing.
Travis Tritt.
Yeah, that's what I have to do. I have to go to, Travis Tritt. You have to go to Jackson. What was his name? Jackson and Randy Travis.
Yeah.
I don't know the names now.
No.
Clark Derringer. I don't. Maybe that's a guy.
That's not a guy. You just made that up.
Yeah, no, I obviously made it up, but no. Maybe that's the Derringer's in a name.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a country singer. Cletus Wilbon.
Dierks Bentley.
Who?
Dierks Bentley.
Dierks Bentley. Yeah.
That's Brooks.
Thanks, Del.
Brooks' uncle.
Yeah, I could finally rely on you to come up with some country music.
Way to go, Del.
People.
Yeah.
And all the country.
The guy that was Hootie.
And having all the country groups change their names. Yeah, Darius Rucker.
That you could change for James.
Was Hootie and the Blowfish country?
Yeah.
No. Darius Rucker's country now.
Yeah, he's country.
Okay.
No, he is.
Pretend like you don't know. You know.
Huh? Big and Rich?
Big and Rich?
And yeah. Cowboy Troy, whatever.
Yeah. Once again, those are old. I'm
Alabama,
not even sure.
Florida something?
Florida.
Georgia, Florida line?
Is it Florida,
Georgia
line?
Why, are we just naming country groups we know now? What's the purpose of what we're doing now? What about Georgia, Florida line?
You want to trade James for a country star, apparently.
Isn't it Florida, Georgia line?
It's Florida, Georgia line.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. What about, What about is this
the
segment where we're just doing country people?
What about the one that's on The Voice thing?
Oh, yeah. Gwen's husband.
Whatever his name is.
Is that Gwen's husband?
Yeah. I think they're married now.
They're married?
Or maybe partners. I don't know.
No, they either got married or they're getting married.
No, like.
I think they're getting married.
How does she identify?
No, it says.
Are they life partners?
Like, when they're not married.
When you're not married, you're now partners.
And it says it on Glenn.
When you have guys that don't want to get married because they keep.
Blake
so now it's like partners.
Yeah, it says it on.
When I say guys, like.
They're not a couple?
They're a couple.
Well, if you hold yourself, you got to be careful now. If you call somebody a wife or husband and they're not, That's when that common law creeps in.
Yeah, on
on
Gwen Stefani's wiki, it says partner Blake Shelton. Oh. They've been together so long that
asked her to marry her.
But they're not married yet. Yeah.
Did you see the woman in some country? She'd been going out with her boyfriend for 8 years, and she sued him now because he hasn't asked her to marry him.
Boy, this is a landmark case now.
Yeah.
This is a big case.
You're together for a while.
This is a big case.
If this goes to
Supreme Court, this is going to set a precedent that, you know, the makeup of the court could be very, very important here, how they view on this.
How does what Amy Coney Barrett feel about common law?
I don't know, but people all of a sudden care. If it goes, I'm not saying that this has gone to the Supreme Court, but if it does, it's a landmark case.
Yeah.
It's one that will resonate for generations.
Yeah. Let's talk right now about my bookie, mybookie.ag, promo code radio. I think you could probably, you can bet on where James Harden will land. I'm pretty sure there's going to be that bet there. They have every other, it's unbelievable at mybookie.ag, promo code radio, how many different things you can bet on. Elections, you can bet on, I mean, it's Australian rules football, you can, Russian volleyball, table tennis. It's unbelievable. The amount of stuff, even like stupid sports like soccer or something, you can bet on those. Listen, if you're looking for a great way to play, win, get paid, if you're looking for a great, easy to navigate website, it's so simple. If you're looking for a great way to get more bets in with less money, all you have to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio. What do I mean by less money? Well, you put in, let's say, 1,000. Well, they'll match 500 of it. They'll match half of it right now at mybookie.ag, promo code radio. Just put it in, go play, win, get paid, mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
No, stop. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. You're more than welcome to do that. Brennan Scarlett is off IR. Does that mean he can cover people now and maybe Whitney can rush the passer or something? I don't know. Who's better in cover? I know Whitney's, that's all he does is cover people now. He doesn't rush the passer at all.
If you missed it, Romeo Crennel was asked about, why do you think Whitney Merciless is so good or something like that? He's like, well, he has to, for what he does and what we do right now, he is the guy who can drop some into coverage at times when you need him to sometimes. And for who we have right now and where we are, Whitney is the best one to do those things at this time. It was the most.
And it wasn't.
Nothing.
Why
answer,
did Whitney not even show up in the stat sheet? That wasn't the question.
Caught
it was,
all zeros.
Why is he so good right now?
Why do you think he's. No, it's why do you think he's so good? Why do you think Whitney Merciless is good or something?
Yeah.
I took it as just reading it like, why do you think he's good? That honestly, when I heard it, that's how I read it. I read it to myself like, why?
No,
that's 100% how I read it. It's like, why do you think Whitney Merciless is good?
No, it was, why do you think he's so good?
Why do you think Whitney Merciless is so good?
No, it's. Well, hey.
You see how it looks different, though?
Yeah,
it sounds different?
No. It was,
why do you think, why is it that you think Whitney Merciless is so good? You see how that sounds reasonable to ask him.
That's a reasonable question, but unfortunately is, hey, so why do you think he's so good?
See, changing the inflection. So why do you think he's so good?
Yeah.
See how it changes? Why do you think he's so good? Really changes a lot.
That really changes everything. It really changes everything.
So,
And Whitney, and the reason is because he's in coverage. That's why he doesn't get any stats. Because you know what? It's Merciless Island.
Merciless Island.
They're staying away from
Don't run left. It's Merciless Island over there.
That was one of my That's one of my favorite bits. Merciless Island.
Yep. Or when you called him Whitney useless, which
Whitney
was
useless.
Not nice.
That wasn't nice.
Or when
but
Big
it was...
Philly Rivers said that he's seen youth pastors more aggressive than Whitney.
So is Big Philly going to catch it?
Let me tell you this. So I made a headliner with Big Philly. I got a face of Philip Rivers, and on Twitter I made a headliner, which is it's an awesome app, by the way. You can do it off your desktop. You can make an app, but it's easy off desktop or laptop. Headliner.app. You can take Dale. You should do this for your blog. It can load your blog. Not your blog, but your podcast. It can load it in, and then you can edit the part that you want to capture and turn that into like a 1 minute or 2 minute, you know, teaser of what your podcast is. And I did that for our Big Philly stuff, and I put it out there, and we had people like, "Oh my God, what a jerk!" And you know the typical, and they started tagging Deshaun Watson and JJ Watt, like, "JJ, look what he said about you." And somebody goes, "Lance, you're gonna get Philip Rivers full on body slammed in the next one." I said, "I'll get him almost body slammed because JJ almost gets there.
No, it's he almost got JJ got to him. It's Whitney that's not even close."
Yeah. No one tagged Whitney.
No. Like, no.
Whatever. But they tagged Deshaun Watson and JJ like, look what he said about y'all. Like, Lance, you got to be careful. You could end up getting that man killed by JJ Watt.
I wonder if Big Philly, has Big Philly do
Philip Rivers legit doesn't like JJ Watt, I don't think. You ever seen him where he goes, "Oh, yeah. Yeah. There you go. Do your thing. Show everybody. Let's see how you're doing it," you know. Like, he was yelling at him in one of his mic'd up segments. Oh, yeah. Not this last one, but it was, he was off sides or something like that. And
well, that had to be, they only faced each other one
no,
other time.
No, it had to be last year where he was off sides and.
Well, Philly wasn't here last year.
Well, he was with the Chargers. Did they not play the Chargers?
No, they haven't played since.
Have they played just once? They haven't played just once. It wasn't this week. It's where Rivers, I'll find it. It's where Rivers goes after JJ about, I'll pull it up. I'll see if I can get the audio.
Oh, maybe Deshaun. I don't know. I think that they said that Philip Rivers only played Houston one time.
Didn't they play in San Diego a couple years ago?
They had to.
Yeah, they must have. Whatever the case may be. I saw they had the only other time Philip Rivers had played against Houston. It's only been one time, I'm pretty sure. Whatever the case may be. He wasn't all that. Oh, yeah, show him how you do it, JJ.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He thinks that JJ may be a bit of a showboat?
Yeah.
Show him how you do it.
Go ahead.
He's the only person in the world that thinks that JJ may be a bit of a showboat. And smoking weed, too, after a sack.
No, I was drinking tea.
Oh.
You got to stop putting that on Captain America.
Well, he did this.
Here it is. I got mic'd up.
Turned the
teacup up. It came out
in
2019. That's when it came out, yeah, against Texans. And he gets JJ to jump off sides or something like that, and he goes after JJ a little bit. I'll see if I can find it, but.
Yeah. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776 is the number to call to hang with us.
I would hate Philip Rivers in an alternate universe, and I didn't like him early on. But
why would you? What? Philip Rivers is. I mean, what? Did you hate him?
When he first came out of NC State, like, oh, this guy, you know. And then I was a Cutler fan early on. So I'm like, oh, because you couldn't, like, you had to hate. He and Jay Cutler didn't get along. But now I know why. Philip's a dog and Jay Cutler's not a dog.
Yeah, no.
And so Philip Rivers has no arm strength at all and is still playing pro football and winning games.
And accurate.
All the swagger in the world.
I mean, it's amazing how he gets the ball.
Doesn't cuss and is a trash talker.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable that Philip Rivers, I like have so much respect. This is like a guy who can't move playing basketball for years and years. It's like a pitcher who's getting, it's kind of like Greinke. Zach Greinke who
a little bit.
Who gets away with it. I mean, it's Greinke's becoming Philip Rivers as he gets older and can throw 87. But it's like a guy who has the gall to get out of games
throwing
an 87 mile an hour fastball.
A good comp. I mean, because they're both borderline Hall of Famers right now.
Yeah.
Right? And they both have arm you know, they don't strength have, issues.
They win with more finesse, but they both are very mentally tough. One guy is on one side end of the, and I'm not going to say spectrum, but one guy is on one end of the
TikTok
spectrum. There's not a better, no. I can't come up with a better word. Zach Greinke's way, way over here, and Phillip's way, way over there. Greinke doesn't want to talk to people ever.
Yeah, right.
That's all Phillip Rivers wants to do is talk to people
right.
all the time.
Right.
He wants to talk to people who don't want them to talk to him.
He's first baseman that won't shut up.
Oh, he's Berkman. Or who was the Reds first base? Sean Casey.
Like Berkman, too.
Yeah, he's kind of like Berkman the way he, chat. Or Sean Casey used to always do that, too.
Yep.
Big talk.
But Berkman, I think,
but there is some Berkman and Phillip Rivers, yeah. Berkman's a good trash talker.
Yeah, and you know, very religious and
mostly he
family guys.
Yeah,
family guys.
A lot of kids.
Yeah,
mostly Berkman
doesn't have nearly as many kids.
He has four daughters.
Yeah, not nearly as
many as Phillip. Nobody does, but he also. But Berkman was a notorious trash talker who doesn't cuss. However, he was usually trash talking his own teammates. Like he'd come in here and Craig Biggio,
man.
Pulls the anchor out after ball can be rattling around in a corner. He pulls the anchor out round in first because he's going to glide in a second. Remember that?
Yep. That's how do you get 50 Hunter doubles Pence and looks like no triples?
We call Hunter Pence the praying mantis. Look at him. He looks like a praying mantis with those big bug eyes. And like, God, he's killing guys in here.
He's trying to dive through glass.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. No. That I could see that one too. Yep. 858 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome. Hey, it's wide open. Let's go. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang with us on ESPN 97.5. Listen, Chastain Ford. Allie sent me this yesterday, as a matter of fact, and she said, hey, tell the people. The Ford truck experts there, straightforward pricing, never any deal add-ons, a best choice when you're looking for that new Ford. Now, during the Build for the Holiday sales event, choose the 2020 Ford Expedition XLT for 0% APR up to 72 months or 25% off MSRP. Looking for a truck? 2020 Ford F-150 four-door STX 29,999 or $499 a month with zero down, or $10,000 off of a 2020 Ford F-150 XLT crew cab. No dealer add-ons. I'm going to repeat, no dealer add-ons. If you want something, you get it. They'll get it for you, but they're not going to force you to get all those extras. Drive in, shop online. They can deliver right to your door. ChastainFord.com. ChastainFord.com. It's not Homestead. It's Homestead, not Hempstead. Okay. Not all buyers will qualify, subject to FMCC credit approval, tier 01. See dealer for more details. Offer expires 12/31/2020. ChastainFord.com.
ESPN 97.5.